This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I'll be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we have been in a series entitled Key Ingredients. Has anybody enjoyed this series on key ingredients? I really hope you have, because I've been working hard to make sure that I bring you a good lesson like I always do every Sunday. This series was designed to teach us the things that are needed and necessary to create the life that God wants us to live. You got it? And you have to make sure that you have to live the life that God wants you to live, because the Bible says His ways are not our ways, neither are His thoughts ours. His are higher than ours. And so to the degree that I do it God's way, I'm going to get God results in my life, all right? And so we're going to have some review as it relates to some key ingredients. The cheat sheets are already in the back, so as long as they're on point, you should be able to say them before I ask you what they are, all right? So we're going to review our key ingredients. Family, what is point number one? Oh, that was like 8 Sundays ago. Y'all remembered. Y'all did so good. All right. Okay, here. But do you remember number two? Number two. Anybody remember number two? Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Number three. Number four. Number five. Last week was a real, real good one. What was last week? Doom, 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 doom. All right. And so forgiveness, it was such an important one. And I really got feedback from every ingredient that I taught. And I just believe that last week's was such an important one, because if you walk in unforgiveness, bitterness shows up in your heart, and so many bad things come with that. You know, and of course, I'm not speaking this on anybody, but if you walk in bitterness long enough, you can even start having ailments in your body. Like, you just can't do that. You have to just forgive, you got to let it go, and you have to move on with the rest of your life. Amen? So today's key ingredient, because I cannot let this series go without talking about today's key ingredient, and that is prayer. That is prayer. Prayer is your power plant. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter and the 16th verse. I want you all to flow with me. They're going to put it up on the screen in a minute. There it goes. Rejoice what?
Always.
Rejoice what? So rejoice always, not some of the time, not depending on, not having situational awareness, you know, and depending on what the situation is, I'll rejoice. The Bible says rejoice always. And then the next part, it says pray continually. All right. And he says in verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so the Bible is teaching us that no matter what comes or no matter what goes, I rejoice always. I pray continually. I give thanks in every circumstance, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us, is what the KJV says. And so we have to learn that prayer is such an important and vital part of the Christian believer. You got it? You know, I don't care what ministry you have, prayer has to be your first ministry. The Bible teaches us that men should always pray and not faint or not give up. And the reason I won't give up is if I pray. You got it? If I don't pray, I'm prone to give up. But if I pray, it'll produce the power in my life, the strength in my life for me to keep going. And so prayer, if you're taking notes, write this down. Prayer should be our first response and not our last resort. Prayer should be our first response. And so the moment something happens, you got it, you know, I should pray. You got it. I shouldn't complain. You got it. I shouldn't call somebody. Maybe call somebody later. But the first thing I need to do is I need to go to God. So when something goes down, the first person I should go to is I should go to God. Everybody say, pray first. Do what?
Pray first.
Before the day begins.
Pray first.
Before you go to bed.
Pray first.
Before you go to work or school.
Pray first.
Before you send that text.
Pray first.
That email.
Pray first.
Before you eat. Drive
pray first.
Before bad things happen.
Pray first.
In every situation,
pray first.
Pray first. So if I'm going to bring God, watch this, into every area of my life, I'm going to have to pray first, all right? Sometimes situations happen and people will you know, call folks and text folks and you ain't going to believe this, you know, and if you're not careful, you'll be like, well, have you prayed about it? Well, no, I ain't thought about that yet. That's got to be the first thing that we do. You got it? Like, prayer has to be our first response and not our last resort. Our church values prayer. We pray every day, Monday through Friday, on the prayer line. You got it? And beyond that, we have leaders that are consistently praying. We've given you confession books so you can make prayers and pray the word of God and pray confessions every single day. So our church values prayer, and because of that, we see results. We have gone through an entire pandemic, and our church, watch this, is still strong. Why? Because we prayed first. Does that make sense? Things have happened, things have come, things have gone. You got it? But we have to understand the importance of prayer. My definition for prayer, and they'll put it up on the screen, it is the channel of communication between the believer and God, whereby God's power is released into the earth realm through the combination, watch this now, of the believer's faith and the word of God. So I must pray the word in faith and I'll get results. Did you hear what I said? I must pray the word in faith and I will get results. You know, James 5 and 15 talks about how the prayer of faith shall save the sick and the Lord will raise him up, right? So you have to understand when you read that, prayer doesn't make faith work. Faith makes prayer work. Does that make sense? And so anything I do, you got it, I have to do it in faith. Another definition for prayer, very easy definition, is communication with God and confrontation with the devil. The moment I open my mouth, I'm beginning to speak to the Father, right? But I'm also confronting the devil, you got it, and letting him know he cannot win. Remember what I told you, God is with you and God is greater, right? I told you that God is with you and you cannot fail, right? I told you if you stay in the fight, you are going to win. I told you if you keep swinging, you're going to hit something. To the degree you will take everything that pastor teaches you and believe it and apply it and bring prayer at the forefront of your life, you'll begin to see results. Does that make sense? Yeah. Now, when I pray, let's talk about this for a little while. When I pray, my heart must be right toward God. When I pray, my heart must be right toward God. 1 Peter 3 and 12, we talked about this a little bit last week in the close. It says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So thank God we already established last week that we are righteous because of the blood of Jesus. We are righteous because of what God did for us. We are righteous, or we are right in right standing with God because of what Jesus did for us on Calvary. But how many know just because we're in right standing with God, just because we're righteous before God, sometimes we do make mistakes. Sometimes we do fall short. And how many know when we go to God, one of the first things I believe you should do is ask God to forgive you for any sins known or unknown. Why? Because when I come to the throne, I want to make sure that my heart is right. Does that make sense? Yeah, I know I'm not the only one in the room. You know, no, let's just take a poll. Let's take a poll. You know, anybody ever been upset? Yeah, and as a result, being upset, maybe said something you shouldn't have said, did something you shouldn't have done, acted the way you shouldn't have acted, sent that text, you understand? Now, do you know they have this thing where you can text people and you can take back the text that you sent? That's to help the folks that hit send too fast and be like, man, I shouldn't have done that. But what I've learned is it doesn't work for everybody. Yeah, I was trying to show my brother Brandon, and I was like, hey, man, you know, you can do this. He's like, I never heard of that. So I said, I'm going to send you a text. I sent him a text. I undid the text. It undid it on my side, but it didn't undo it on his side. I said, you probably don't have an Apple device. It's probably something like that. But anyways, so when I come to God, the first thing I do, yes, I come boldly before the throne of grace because that's what the Bible teaches me to do, and that's what God wants me to do because we are his children, and he doesn't want us to come fearful, intimidated, anything like that, but he does want us to come with the pure heart. So anytime I come to God, I come, Father, I come to you in the magnificent name of Christ Jesus, declaring that this is the day that you have made, and I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Father, I ask you to forgive me for any sins known or unknown. Wash me and cleanse me in the blood of the Lamb. My heart's desire is to live holy before you and to follow holy after you all the days of my life. Forgive me for sins of omission. Forgive me for sins of commission. What am I doing? I'm trying to make sure that my heart is right. You got it? Because we're all prone to make mistakes and say things that we shouldn't say and act ways that we shouldn't act. How many know even with you doing your best on your best day, sometimes you can still mess up? Am I right about it? Yeah, you can still mess up, you know, on your best day. And so what I'm saying is we need Jesus. Another thing is, we're talking about your heart, right? It's not just, you know, because maybe there's something wrong, but you have to make sure that there's no pride in your heart, right? It's like, so when I pray, I'm not praying to impress you. You got it? Matthew 6:7 says, but when ye pray, notice it said when and not if. Because he fully expected us to pray. He says, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their what? Much speaking, all right? And these are those traditional prayers that, you know, and I think you have to be careful of tradition. You got it? Jesus says that your tradition makes the word of God of none effect. And you have to be really careful about traditions and getting caught up in traditions. And you have to be careful with eloquent speech. Paul says, I didn't come to you with eloquent sweet speech. I came to you with the power of the Holy Ghost. We came with the evidence of what God can do in your life. And so, yes, nothing wrong with talking, you know, eloquent, nothing wrong with, you know, talking like you're educated, you know, and that kind of thing, but make sure that you're not in pride. You got it. Almost holy one, thou Father, the creator of heaven and earth, you know, and you just kind of go, I just need to pray and let God know I need him in my life. You know, does that make sense? Like, I just need to be like, God, I need you right now because, you know, Father, to be honest with you, I need you to step in right now. Lord, you already know I'm a little frustrated. So, Lord, please help me. Calm me down. Calm my spirit down. Calm my soul down. Because, Lord, I already said something I shouldn't say, and I don't need to say anything. So I'm going to close my mouth, and I thank you right now for the peace of God overshadowing me and everything that's not like God. Come on, somebody. But because God doesn't need, you know, I remember when I was a little boy, me and my brother, I say little boy, we were about 15 years old, and we worked at this Christian camp, and we, you know, we worked and we washed dishes, but we were allowed to be part of the different camps that would come, and all kind of, you know, Presbyterian, and just all kind of different people, and I remember they were praying one day, and I wasn't in the room, but I heard in the room over, and I didn't know what they were saying, because they were like, Father, you know that we know that you know that we know, so since we know that you know that we know, you already know. I was 15 years old and confused because I didn't know what they were talking about. You got it? But praying out of tradition produces good speech. But praying in faith produces the power of God to transform your situation. Does that make sense? You got it? I don't know how to pray eloquent, but I know how to bind the devil in the name of Jesus. I know that at his name every knee shall bow and every tongue confesses. I know that at his name demons tremble and sickness has to flee. So I might not have the most eloquent speech, but I know if I pray the word of God in faith, the power of God will show up in my life to transform every situation that's not like God. Does that make sense? Oh, come on. Y'all can give me a little bit better clap than that. All right. So just because we are saved, remember now, it does not exempt us from adversity, right? The Bible teaches us in Psalms 34:19 that many are the afflictions of the righteous. And so, but thank God he makes a promise that he will deliver us not out of some of them, but he will deliver us out of them all. And so every time a challenge arises, you have a choice to make. Either panic or peace. Everybody say panic or peace. Every time a challenge arises in your life, every time a situation happens, every time you get an email, every time you get a phone call, every time the school calls, every time the spouse starts acting up, just no matter what it is, you have to make a choice, either panic or peace. When things arise, we call everybody, but how about calling on Jesus? I've learned that in this culture that we live in, people don't even mind talking about God. But now the way people talk about God, I'm realizing they're not always talking about the same God I'm talking about. Like what God are you talking about? But the different, but you can differentiate, praise the Lord. You got it. I told you I don't have eloquent speech, all right? But I know how to pray in faith and see some things happen in my life. But I don't know how to differentiate sometimes between when people start talking about God. But when you, watch this, but the way you wash all that out is you just say the name of Jesus. Because when you say the name of Jesus, that, watch this, hands down, everybody knows who we're talking about. Does that make sense? And so you have to learn how to call on Jesus. Jesus teaches us that we are to always pray and not cease. We are to always pray and never faint. So prayer is the bridge between panic and peace. That's grammable, that's bookable, all those things. Prayer is the bridge between panic and peace, all right? Prayer is the bridge between panic and peace. If I learn to pray, watch this, I won't panic. If I learn to pray, I won't be worried. Isn't that right? I want to give you several things, about four things that I think that will help you understand the importance of prayer and the power of prayer in our lives. And so let's jump in this and see what we can't learn. Y'all ready? All right, everybody say number one. Number one, prayer replaces worry. Prayer replaces worry. I remember some of you all probably remember this when Lady and I were really young. So December will be 24 years, right, babe? Yeah, we'll be married 24 years. Amen. But I remember in years one and two, you know, like I am, like you have to understand by nature, I'm a guy that likes to dot every I, cross every T. I like things a certain way. I got issues. Like I fully know I have issues. And I have no problem with that because I know everybody's got issues. I got issues. You got issues. All God's children got issues. If you don't think you have an issue, that's your issue, right? And so I give grace to everybody with their issues. And then I'm just believing you're going to give grace to me with my issues. You got it? Like, I was literally at home yesterday, and our master's on the third floor, and we have a little kitchenette up there, right? And so lady said, we're out of waters up there, you know? And so, you know, we keep things like waters and grapes, you know, and pineapple. So if you're hungry at night, you eat good and you don't eat bad. You got it? And so, you know, I'm putting the waters out, and, we like certain kind of waters, and most of the time we have Aquafina. Lady likes smart water. She likes Fiji. You got it? And those kind of things. So when I put the waters out, I'm in my room. Nobody in this world is going to be up in my room besides me and Lady. Maybe Hannah if she walks in every once in a while. But I'm putting all the Aquafinas the right way so the labels are placed the right way so you can see them the right way. You got it? I just can't help it. Like I just started putting them in, and I realized I was doing it wrong, and then I couldn't help. I had to stop and turn everyone so it looks right. I realized I got issues. But you do too, praise the Lord. Right? And so, but Lady, you know, being married to me, she realized early on that I had issues. You understand? And so I would just, you know, I'd say things and, you know, we just got to happen. We got to do that. She's like, babe, don't worry. Worryation is a sin. Boy, that used to make me mad when she would say that. I said, I'm not worried. I'm just making sure everything's okay. So prayer replaces worryation. Philippians, the fourth chapter and the sixth verse, it says, don't worry about anything. It says, instead, pray about, there you go, everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. And I submit to you, he's done a lot for you and he's done a lot for me. It says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And I think that's what you have to understand. There are certain times you're in situations and you got to just literally stop trying to figure it out. Stop, you know, sometimes there's certain things you got to give to God and quit trying to figure it out. If you're like me, I'm a fixer and I can fix 99.9% of things. But there's certain things I just can't fix and I have to cast all my care upon him. I've got to give it to God because I realize that I can't fix it. But watch this. But if I don't worry and I pray instead and I tell God what I need, I will experience this peace, watch this, that exceeds anything I can understand. So even though I can't understand exactly how this is going to work, there's a peace that comes that can calm you, that can replace worry, and you know that God's going to take care of it, all right? His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So as I pray, worry leaves and peace comes. Watch this. And I experience his presence. And I think that that is the key, learning to live in God's presence. You know, and how do I get God's presence to show up in my life? When I pray, God's presence shows up in my life. When I worship, God's presence shows up in my life. When I'm driving down the road and I put on worship music, God's presence shows up in my life. So, and I have to make sure that I'm experiencing God's presence every day of my life. Because whether you go to the job or to the school or to the store, there's confusion everywhere. Am I right? There's chaos everywhere. Am I right? And so you have to understand that day to day, you can be in and out of environments that can be chaotic, that can have confusion. But watch this. If you make sure that every day you spend some time in his presence, you'll have some peace. Does that make sense? All right. Everybody said number two. Y'all get anything out of this? All right. So prayer relinquishes control. Prayer relinquishes control. And I think that's the problem with a lot of us. You got it? Because we want to have our hands on it. We want to fix it and those kind of things. But I've lived long enough to learn there's some things I cannot fix. You got it? Especially when y'all start talking, when we start talking about relationships and when people are involved, there's some certain things that you wish that things would be a certain way, but you can't control that. You got it? And how many know some people going to act the way they're going to act and there's nothing you can do about it? A person forced against their will is of the same opinion still. You could have a falling out with somebody and it wasn't even your fault. And you go and you're trying to fix it and you're trying, and you know, and they don't want to have anything to do about it. Man, you can't worry about that. You have to relinquish control and you got to give that to Jesus. Romans 15 and 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him. So as I'm working through some situations in my life, I don't want to lose my joy and I can't lose my peace. So you've got to understand that even when I'm in a tough situation that's going against the way I want it to go in my life, God fully expects me to be in joy and have peace and keep moving on with my life. It says, so that you may overflow with hope, and hope is my anchor to faith. As long as I have hope, my faith can't drift away. He says, so you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because if I have joy, I have hope, or I have expectation. If I'm in peace, I have this hope and I have this expectation. But think about it. If I don't have joy, I'm probably mad. And if I don't have peace, things are probably chaotic. So mad and chaos doesn't produce much hope in my life. But joy and peace produce hope in my life. So now when situations come up, you got it, that I like to call greater than me situations. There's some situations that I can fix. You got it. If Hannah tells me, Dad, the light bulb in my room is out, I can go and fix the light bulb. You understand what I'm saying? You know, but there's things that I can't fix. And this, those things that we have to give to God and relinquish control, watch this, and not allow the situation to steal our joy or our peace. Does that make sense? So we have to choose to trust him and commit our situation to God in prayer and know that he is going to take care of our situation. You know, and let me just tell you, the biggest battle in that happens in the mind. Because, you know, you're like, oh, okay, pastor says do that, no problem. Pastor, I'm going to do that. I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to remain in joy. I'm going to stay happy. You know, and 3 minutes later, the devil is rehearsing whatever happened it right in your mind. Am I telling the truth? You got it. He's rehearsing the situation. And he will work overtime to take you away from a place of joy and away from a place of peace. And that is why you have to cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the name of God and knowledge of God, and bring every thought, the Bible says, captive to the obedience of Christ. And in certain instances and certain moments, that can be a full-time job. The Bible says if you resist the devil, what's going to happen? He's going to flee. And so what I've learned is when the enemy really tries to work overtime in my head, man, I got to go to pray. Like that's what I have to do. Everybody's different, right? But I go to God. I say, Father, I thank you that your word says that if I resist the enemy, he's going to flee. And so I just curse every thought that's coming to my mind at the authority of the name of Jesus. Father, I've already given it to you. So I thank you that joy is mine. I thank you that peace is mine. And then I might start talking about the goodness of God. You got it? I'm going to do everything I can to push the enemy back so he knows he has no place in my life. Does that make sense? Amen. All right, so let's rehearse. We said, number one, prayer replaces worry. We said, number two, prayer relinquishes control. Here we go. Everybody say number three. And I've kind of already talked about it. Prayer regulates thinking. Prayer regulates thinking. I just jumped ahead of myself. All right. So So let me give you the scripture on it because I've already given you the commentary on it. Okay. Flip my commentary. That's the James Edward James Edward McIver Jr. commentary. All right. That's the PMAC, Pastor Mac commentary, all right? Praise the Lord. All right. Philippians 4 and 8. Finally! After you let the devil try to talk you out of what God's going to do in your life, after you let people try to talk down on you, come on, somebody, after you done went through everything, finally! He says, brethren, whatsoever things are, 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 whatsoever things are of a. He says, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he says, don't think on the other things, think on these things. So after you've thought on all these other things and how you're going to get them back and how you're going to wear them out, how you want the devil to you know, how you want the God to vindicate you by somebody running over them, you know, all those kind of things. You got it. When you finally come to God, he says, finally, are you ready? Now that you put all that behind you, done fuss folk out, some of you even cuss folk out, you need to apologize and ask God to forgive you on that because you know Christians ain't supposed to cuss. He says, man, after you went through all that, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of a good report, he said, think on these things. So this is what he's saying. If you're in a situation, watch this, and it's not true, don't think on it. But they lied on me. It ain't true. And that's a hard one to kind of, you know, get, you know, I'm not saying I've mastered it, but I'm pretty good at it. You understand what I'm saying? There are times that, you know, especially if it get me by surprise, you know, you got it, the Marine in me wants to, you know, born to fight, trained to kill, ready to die, but never will, you know, all you see is red, you know, but I know that's not what God wants. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, I was talking to a friend. I said, man, it's crazy because, you know, we grew up in the inner city. We grew up in the hood. You got it? When we would play basketball, if it didn't work out right, people would pull their knives out. You understand? Like we literally grew up in the city. And then I go to the Marine Corps, you got it, where they put you out in the woods and they train you. You know, like there's 27 ways to kill a man with pressure points, you know. And then God wants me to come over and be a pastor. Now, everybody, we just have to love the Lord and everything's going to be okay. Right? You know, because, you know, like in the early days when I started pastoring, I literally thought everybody just loved God and they were going to be happy me and Lady came. You know, everything was good until I found out it don't work like that. People will lie on you. And then I have to realize I'm just starting to pastor. So the Marine wants to come out. Brother from the hood wants to come out. You know, and so I had to kind of learn how, and I've done a good job switching that thing. I did. Now, every once in a while, I want to go back. But I know that that's not God's will for my life. But sometimes, you know, have you ever had talks with Jesus? Well, you know, because maybe he doesn't understand the whole story and, you know, kind of what happened. And I want to try to tell God, you know, and try to explain to God, you know, now, God, I just need to do it this one time because I think that they think I'm weak and I'm not weak. I might present as weak, but brother man is not weak. So Lord, if you will just stay in, go to the car, Jesus, just stay in the car. I'll be back in 5 minutes and then we can recommune. That's not God's way, right? That makes my flesh feel good, but it's not God's way. I don't need a show of hands by this. I do not need a show of hands by this. What did he say? I do not need a show of hands by this. But just in your mind, answer the question, have you ever really went off on somebody? And when you got done, you know, going off, you didn't feel bad. You felt good. You're like, whoo, I had to let that joker know. Now they know. Now they know who they're dealing with. You understand what I'm saying? But that ain't God's way. But we've all done it. And then just to have to go and repent later. Come on, somebody. So, what not to do, right? So as good as that feels, it doesn't produce anything in our lives. Come on, somebody, listen at me now. It doesn't produce anything in our lives. And so even though we might have those inclinations and those feelings, it doesn't produce anything in our lives, because he says you only think on those things that are true. So if they lied on you, like my pastor says, let it lie. Because if you don't let it lie, you go through all that I just talked about just to come right back around and ask God to forgive you so he can remind you you only think on those things that are true and honest. I think this is a good place to go home. And just and pure and of a good report. Because I wasted a lot of energy doing all that other stuff. I lost my witness doing that other stuff. You got it? And So what happens is I've lived long enough to forego my feelings. I put them in my back pocket. You got it? No, I'm not going to lie to you. There are times I do want people to know I'm a nice guy, but I'm not weak. But I can't worry about that. I have to do what God has called me to do and watch this and be the light that is going to shine in darkness so other people can see the way. Does that make sense? Yeah, because so some of y'all, when I was talking about that, y'all was feeling good. That was juicy. Yeah, Pastor, that's what I'm talking about. Because I got somebody I'm ready to go get at the church too. Come on, Pastor, give me the green light and tell me how I'm going to come back around and repent about that thing. Number four, and I'm closing, prayer relies on God. Prayer relies on God. I trust that God heard me the moment that I prayed. And the moment that I pray, things are happening in the spirit realm that are going to manifest in the natural. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, and his will is his word, he heareth us. And if we know he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petition we've desired of him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, believers are praying all over the building. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you how you back up your word with your power to perform it in our lives. And so in every instance in our lives, Father, we choose to take the high road. So when the devil tries to show up in our lives, we choose to think on those things that are true and just and pure and lovely and of a good report. And anything besides that, we choose to let it go and we give it to you. We choose to cast every care upon you because you care for us. And so, Holy Spirit, I thank you for leading us. I thank you for guiding us. I thank you for helping us. Help us not to lose it. Help us not to go off. Help us not to be a bad witness for Jesus. But instead, help us to be that light that shines. While there was a lot of humor in this lesson, I think you got the nuts and bolts of what I was saying. That at the end of the day, if you pray, you're going to make it. And not just pray, but pray first. Pray right away. When it happens, pray. Before you send the text, pray. Before you respond to that person, pray. And as you do that, Holy Spirit will give you what you need. So that way, whatever comes out of your mouth might, number one, be pleasing to God. And number two might be the words to communicate to calm the situation or the circumstance that you're in. Father, we thank you for it. We give you praise for it, that on this week we will pass that test in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand praise in the room.